conduct of the meeting. Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant message facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. And failure to adhere to the guidelines for a second time would result in being removed from the meeting. I'd also remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or maybe before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call or for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meetings will also be video and audio recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting itself, so please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, you use the instant message facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I'll bring members in as listed. Members should also ensure their cameras are switched on when speaking, and cameras should be switched on when a vote's being taken. And also remind members of the following letters for the instant messaging, so Q, P and S. Please refrain from making any other comments using the instant messaging. If two councillors propose at the same time, the person who proposed first will be taken as a proposer, and the person who proposed second will be recorded as the seconder. I'm sure by the time June comes, I'll be sick of that thing that we have to continually read out at the start of every meeting. But before we start, folks, I'm sure some of you might know that Councillor Sean Doran took on well at the weekend. Now, I do understand that he's improving, which is good to hear. But I suppose on behalf of the whole council, I'd like to send my thoughts and prayers to Sean and his family, and maybe ask if Democratic Services could facilitate that. That would be very useful. And I suppose before we get to road service as well, just maybe take this opportunity, as it is the 30th of November, to congratulate John, Alan and Patrick on our November challenge to date, and remind members you still have time to donate to this superb cause if you can. You'll see the link on all of their social media platforms. So, Sarah, have we any other apologies for tonight's meeting?
No, the only one was Sean.
Sean himself. Okay, no problem. Tom, any other apologies from the floor? No. Okay, great.
Chief Executive Marie Ward is on her way back from a meeting and will be a bit late.
Thanks, Michael. I should have mentioned that. Thank you. Okay, so in terms of tonight's meeting, I'd like to welcome James, Hugh and Ian from the Department of Infrastructure to our virtual chamber. You're all very welcome and thanks for your time. I know that you're here to present the annual report for our council area, but I suppose we in advance of maybe handing over to you, James, I might maybe just remind members of how tonight's meeting will hopefully flow. After James presents the report, I'll open the floor to questions via the instant messaging mechanism that we have. Members submitted to raise and query items contained within the report. However, I'm saying this tongue in cheek, this isn't the conduit for raising a hole in the hedge or a pothole at your neighbour's gate. As tempting as it is, you unfortunately won't be permitted to do that. I'm going to be strict or else we could be here to Christmas itself if we're going down that route. I know that all members were issued with pro formas to submit issues and were also afforded the opportunity to meet at clinics earlier today. If for some reason that you couldn't get to the clinic or you didn't get your issues in time, don't worry. If you fire an email through with the wee pro forma to Democratic Services, we'll ensure that they're relayed on to the department and they will respond to you in due course. So tonight, whenever you do want to raise an issue, I'll be asking for the page number of the actual report itself that it refers to. So even whenever James will give his presentation, if there's anything you want to raise, have a wee flick through and know what page number it is the time you come to raise it. And it just will ensure that the meeting itself runs much more smoothly for myself and for also our representatives from DFI. So I suppose I, as chair, I'd like to thank our officials for assistance over the year and pass on the best wishes of our council to Arnold as well. I know that he's retired. I'm not sure if it was actually today or last week. If it was today, I'm sure wondering why he didn't come along to our council meeting this evening to see us all for one last time. But I suppose on behalf of the council, you know, one our best wishes to him and to his family. I know I missed my own clinic spot today with yourselves, but I was involved, like many members, in a ministerial meeting this afternoon, which clashed at the same time. But I missed that interaction. But I know that I also work for Colin McGrath, and I'm in regular contact, I'm sure you're probably saying, too often, with yourselves. I suppose it's a thank you for all your hard work and efforts. So now, perhaps, James, if I could hand over to you for the report, if that's okay.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just to check, can you hear me okay?
We can indeed. Yep, great.
Thank you very much, Chair. And thanks for your... Thanks for your kind comment regarding Arnold. Yes, Arnold was due to retire today, so unfortunately he's not able to join us this evening. I'm sure he's plotting his future as we speak. So I think he might have a little bit of time. He's using up some leave, but his last day at work was earlier today, so he's now completed his service. And we're very grateful to him for that. So thank you for your kind comments, and also your comments regarding the clinics earlier today and the report, and helping us to keep us focused on the report. That would be great. So maybe if I make a start, Chair, I suppose I just start off by saying thank you for this opportunity to present the DFI Rhodes Annual Report. My name is James Kelly, and I'm the Network Development Manager in Southern Division. And as we were mentioning there a little minute ago, you'll be aware normally the Divisional Rhodes Manager attends this meeting and presents this report, but I'll present it this year for the purpose of the continuity. Mr. Hamilton, who had been covering the post, retired. No doubt our new Divisional Rhodes Manager will be in touch with Council as he becomes familiar with his new brief. So I'm joined this evening by our two section engineers who cover the area. Some of you will be familiar with Ian Campbell from our Newry section office, and others among you may know Hugh Morgan from our Down section office. We're pleased to join the online council meeting, which is an opportunity for us to update you all on the works carried out since we last met and the planned works during the current financial year. And can I first say, as you mentioned, Chair, about in advance of the meeting, the collection of queries. Many of the queries are out with the content of the report. Hopefully some were maybe answered earlier today. Some might be covered in the report. And those that aren't, as the Chair said, as they remain unresolved, we'll collect them and we'll provide a collated written response back to Council in due course. And I hope by now you'll all have received a link to the annual report, which details work completed in the last financial year and our programme for this year. I appreciate it's a little late in the year now, but the circumstances that we find ourselves in this year have conspired to have us presenting so late in the year. I've included, and I'll mention it a couple of times in the last page of the report, the contact details for business areas, which I trust you'll find useful and help to direct councillors to specific teams that they may be interested in contacting, or there's general contact phone number and general contact email there as well. It's a more robust system if we can use the generic emails and the generic phone number. It's a much better way to get a hold of staff, because using those generic emails, those emails are monitored and tracked, and correspondence is logged for response. And engaging with personal emails of staff are on leave or staff are no longer available or have moved post, it can quite easily fall between stools. But using those generic emails will ensure that correspondence is logged for response. So please be mindful that in line with government guidance, many of our staff are working from home and they're not in the office all the time, so you may not be able to contact them directly, but if we use those particular emails, we get back to you as soon as we can. Some of our planned works have been placed on hold during the COVID-19 lockdown period. Thankfully, contractors were able to recommence works and the schemes were then completed. And as you can imagine, given the nature of the works and the interaction needed between workmen and indeed the general public, it has been a particularly challenging period for all concerned. However, I'm pleased to report that progress in scheme delivery has been good, and I'll go into that a little bit later. So I'll start my presentation by setting the scene in relation to funding for roads. At the last meeting, our Divisional Roads Manager highlighted that for a number of years, funding for road maintenance has been below the level required to maintain the structural integrity of the road network. So we need to focus our limited resources when the parts of the network most in need of attention and where most benefit is derived. I can advise that even with the huge financial pressures currently being faced by central government, the overall 2021 structural maintenance capital budget for Northern Ireland remains at $75 million, the same as last year. Of this, $12 million have been set aside for the Roads Recovery Fund, including $10 million targeted towards rural roads. And from a resource maintenance perspective, allocations are also similar to last year, but are still insufficient to deliver the level of services needed. Hence, we continue with our limited service policy. And this can affect our day-to-day works, such as pothole repairs, gully cleaning, and grass cutting, among others. In recent years, regrettably, there has been a significant reduction in funding for our local transport and safety measures schemes, or LTSM schemes. And those are schemes, a collective of schemes, which would include pedestrian crossings and traffic calm and collision remedial and junction improvement works and minor improvement works to the network. This limits our capacity to undertake schemes of this nature, albeit we're continuing to deliver as broad a work program as possible. I am, however, pleased to say that additional funding has recently been made available for active travel. Active travel being a collective term where we travel, where we're not sitting down. So it's all about walking and cycling and includes safer routes to schools. And this will allow the introduction of part-time 20-mile-an-hour speed limits at 12 schools in the council area. Also, funding for traffic signal maintenance this financial year has continued at previous levels. This will help us to ensure public safety and traffic progression and limit periods of disruption to road users through our traffic signal maintenance. And again, on a positive note, I'm pleased to report that the Minister has allocated sufficient funding to allow a full street lighting repair service for the entire year, which is welcomed. In addition, we've received funding to continue to roll out a programme of LED replacement lanterns to help reduce both the number of streetlight outages and the energy consumption, and we'll continue to operate a limited service in respect of street lighting repairs. The priority for repairs focuses on emergency repairs and group outages and then single light defects. So we're prioritising how we respond to those defects that are alerted to us. In respect of all the functions which we deliver, I can assure you that we continue to bid for additional funding during the year when opportunities arise for us to do that. So onto the report itself, Chair, in the first section is an SRI update, which includes references to the Ballinhinch Bypass and the Newry Southern Relief Road, and also Doran's Rock. And moving on to road maintenance, that's the section from page 12 to page 30. The first couple of pages identify key staff and how to contact them with maintenance queries. There are a couple of pages of overview of key maintenance activities undertaken, and then a brief report on the winter service programme on page 16. The division is prepared for winter weather conditions this year again and treatment of the roads and the salting network throughout the winter season. Page 17 to 26 are looking back at works completed in the previous financial year, 1920. And during that financial year, we completed a substantial programme of works, including resurfacing, surface dressing, and drainage. Details of all these are provided, as I said, in pages 17 to 26. The second part of the maintenance section, pages 27 to 30, is looking forward into the financial year that we're currently in to works that were proposed. Being significantly through the year now, much of this work has been completed, especially the surface dressing programme, which is a summertime activity for us because it's very much weather-dependent. I don't propose to refer to all the individual schemes, but I'm pleased to report that we've seen completion on some sizeable resurfacing schemes, including the Warren Point Dual Carriageway and Blackstaff Road at Ballykinner, and you can see those listed in the report yourselves. No doubt different members will be interested in different areas. Our road maintenance schemes have provided significant improvement to the condition of the network within the council area. Regarding the maintenance of our structures is another important function for us, and works undertaken to maintain our bridges and our culverts and upgrades to our vehicle restraint systems are detailed in pages 25 and 26. Our programmes of proposed works for the current financial year, as I said, are page 27 to 30. And again, we're undertaking a broad range of schemes spread across the council area. We've made excellent progress, as I said, on surface dressing and also the road resurfacing programme, because we're substantially through the better weather now, and those are listed in pages 27, 28, 29. And our roads recovery schemes, which are generally shorter lengths of resurfacing, we'll see a number of sites completed during the financial year, also across the council area as well. Page 31 starts our network development section, and with a couple of pages again identifying key personnel and how to contact them, as well as outlining the types of work covered by the network development team. And then again, this section is in two parts, looking back and looking forward. So 33 to 42, those pages look back in detail the work completed last year, including some that were delayed by the COVID lockdown. Much needed schemes have been completed to provide improvements to road safety and traffic progression, and these include, they're listed in there, but to pick a couple, the junction improvement works at Collins Corner in Downpatrick, and the collision remedial scheme in Newcastle to replace existing zebra crossings with controlled puffin crossings, puffin being the pedestrian controlled crossings where the pedestrians are sensed as they cross the road, and the light are more intelligent and they'll stay red until slow moving pedestrians or continued pedestrians make their way safely across the road. They're recognised as a safer installation than the legacy Pelican crossings. A number of new footways have been completed, including Refrain Road in Uri and Todd's Hill at Saintfield. And there are also details in that section of the report around legislation for the provision of accessible parking bays and other legislation associated with weight restrictions and speed limits, as well as lists of traffic signs and road markings and red surface marking to highlight gateway entrances to villages, and also dropped curbs, which assist with pedestrian movement as well. I'm sure you'll agree that these and other traffic management schemes listed in the report will combine to improve road safety and traffic progression and the operation of the road network throughout the district. Moving on to page 43 to 51, in our network development programme looks forward and includes mention of a collision remedial scheme proposed at Clough and a number of footway schemes proposed at Downpatrick and Spa and Rahulp, as well as a number of puffin crossings in various locations there mentioned, Downpatrick, Castlewell and Burn, and also one that was delayed from last year at Annalong. The installation of the part-time 20-mile-an-hour speed limits outside the 12 schools, which has been promoted by the Minister, have also been listed in there. It's our intention to complete a number of traffic signals upgrades, including at Sugar Island there in Newry and the main Belfast Road Main Street Junction in Saintfield. These upgrades, as well as making them operate more efficiently and using more modern technology, will include improved pedestrian crossing facilities at both these busy locations. Other puffins are proposed at other locations as well, including, as I mentioned, Castlewell and Saintfield. Those are listed on page 46. I've mentioned the part-time 20s and the reports. They're due to go to consultation shortly. That's the legislation from the part-time 20-mile-an-hour speed limits at the 12 schools. And that's part of the legislative process for setting the new speed limits to make them enforceable. Details of other proposed legislation around accessible parking bays and waiting restrictions and speed limits are listed in pages 48 to 51. And regarding legislation on some of these proposed schemes, I'd like to point out that for any of the proposals that require legislation or require land to be acquired, it's not always a given that we can guarantee their delivery, because these variables mean we have to follow statutory consultation processes and give due consideration to any objections that might be received. So those need to be considered and are an important part of the statutory process. Moving on to the next section of the report, page 52 to 58, details our network planning and street lighting works in the area. And again, it starts off with identifying key staff and how to contact them before following the same format for network maintenance and network development of looking back, listing works that were undertaken in the previous year, and then looking forward to works planned this year in our functions of planning, development control, planning consultations, and also in our private streets role, and also street lighting is in there as well. The department is a consultee of council's planning function, and our network planning team provides contribution to that process with respect to roads matters. And our private street sections follow on then where our network planning team leave off, and they pick up the adoption process for new developments as they come to their completion and the roads are proposed for adoption to the public road network. And private streets will also take action there from an enforcement perspective and have a couple of other functions as well. With respect to street lighting, I'm pleased to report that we have made good progress in delivering our street lighting schemes with LED lantern retrofitting, seeing the replacement of older sodium lanterns. And again, this brings energy efficiency savings as well. Completed schemes in the district are listed on page 57 and proposed schemes are listed on page 58. And there's also detail with regarding the reporting of defective lights and how their repairs prioritised, something I mentioned a little while ago. The report concludes, Chair, with an update regarding the level of service for the Strangford Ferry on page 59. And I can report that the service has been enhanced by the provision of an additional passenger only sailing on weekday mornings and in the afternoons to facilitate schools. The adjustment of the timetable now means that two vehicle sailings take place before 8 a.m. and this allows more vehicles to cross earlier than normal. And just to conclude with the final page of the report, we've collected for your convenience the key contacts for our main functions, the maintenance function, the network development function, and the network planning and street lighting function. And those emails and the relevant phone numbers are there. And the report of fault remains a valuable avenue as well for members to report difficulties or faults that they have come across as well. And those are picked up and allocated for action then. So in conclusion, Chair, I trust that this has provided members with an insight to the work that we're delivering across the district. Naturally, we'd love to be in a position to expand our work programmes, but the reality is that with budget allocations as they are, and like any good housekeeper, we need to live within our means. So thank you, Chair. That concludes my presentation, and I'm happy to address questions or involve maybe the other two gentlemen, Ian Campbell and Hugh Morgan, regarding the particular sections as relevant.
That's great, James. Thank you for that. That was very, very thorough. I'm sure we have a number of questions coming in here. I think there, Councillor Walker, you're in first. Go on ahead, Billy.
Yes, can you hear me, Chair?
I can, Dave.
Yes, no. First of all, James, I want to thank you for your very comprehensive report. And secondly, could I thank the staff from our section office, particularly Hugh Morgan, for the work he has done over the last year. You know, you only have to ask Hugh and the team for to come out for site meetings and that, and they oblige, and that, you know, and you seem to get more done when that happens. So just want to put in record my thanks to them. My question is in and around the Ballinahinch bypass. We've got the welcome news from Minister Mallon that next year it will move to the next stage, and that is good news for the bypass. But when she said it will move to the next stage next year, does the department have a time frame for the progression of that there? Will the next stage include the money being provided to start work on the Ballinahinch bypass? You know, we all know the Ballinahinch bypass has been around for about 40 years, but as I say, it's moving in the right direction. So it is, all politicians in the area have supported it down through the years and that. And I think now is the time for the minister, to provide the funding for it and take it forward. But, is there a time frame there for the progression of it? And do you think the money will be provided?
Thank you, Billy. James, I was going to suggest it's okay with you if I take in, if you are happy enough, to take in maybe one or two, maybe two or three councillors at this one time, and you can maybe note down and then come back in the one go. Would that be okay, or would that suit okay?
Yep. Thanks very much, Chair.
Okay, lovely. Terry, you're in next, sir, Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. More or less, I was going to be echoing very much the sentiments of Councillor Walker and a lot of stuff. First of all, I would like to thank you, James, for the presentation of a very concise report, and also to Hugh Morgan and to Kieran Murray and to the staff at Down Section Office, and also Joe Leahy of Street Lighting. And again, I reiterate that, you know, that they've been under, like a lot of government services, they've been under a lot of pressures over this past year, especially with the current pandemic that we're in. And I would like to compliment them and thank them for all their help and support over the many years that I've been in council, and also look forward to working with them for the future. But again, as I say, I've already presented my list of queries to the officers earlier on. But I do welcome very much the commitments that have been made in relation to the Ballinahinch bypass and also to the Dorans Rock proposal. I know they've been about a long, long time, but hopefully now things will start moving following the recent news given by the minister. Again, that's all I would like to ask. But also in relation to Dorans Rock, I'm very fond of walking the roads and all. And in relation to the Dorans Rock scheme, are there any plans and visits for a pedestrian footpath that would run similar to like what we have from Cross Garda down Paddington? Again, it's just something that I would like to raise. And also in relation to the current job situation, has Road Service got any plans and joining up with the likes of other government departments in getting people who are unemployed into work schemes, something similar to the old industrial grades that were employed by Road Service many years ago, and I used to work there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Terry. I think maybe that last question might be one that's contained in the report, so I'm going to start being strict with you, and then everybody else will have to follow suit, then, as you're in the same party as me.
Well, no problem. Okay? I'll do no harm.
No,
thank you very much, Laura.
Thank you, Terry. I'll bring in Councillor Clark, and then perhaps James after Councillor Clark, then we can come back and answer those three at once, if that's okay. Willie, if you want to go on ahead there.
Thank you, Chair. Just I'd echo the remarks was made earlier in regards to DFI Roads and Q Morgan in regards to maintenance. Anything you can do, he'll do it for you, you know, so thanks very much for that. In relation to pedestrian safety schemes, obviously there's only, you know, one scheme really progresses any one year. So there's a lot of frustration when, you know, local communities in my own area in Newcastle, you know, there's always has been a lobby for pedestrian crossing on the Dunrum Road and indeed the Castle Island Road as well.
Is that in this report, Willie?
It's just in generic pedestrian safety measures. I was going to maybe make a proposal and we write to the Minister, Mallon, in regards to an increase in the budget for pedestrian crossings. Because it's not adequate, the amount of money that's dedicated at present. So okay. I think I'll hold it here.
If we stick within this report, because we could be here all day making proposals about different bits and pieces. I appreciate where you're coming from. There's no problem with that, but if we can try and not let that spread out across all the members, we'll be making proposals all evening. Do you have a seconder for that proposal, Willie?
Hello.
Are you sorry?
I'm having a second, yeah, Barra.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. If members happy with that? Yeah. Okay, that's fine. Well, if we can move on then. Are you content? We can go back then to James if you want to answer those three councillors' questions, if that's okay, before we move on.
Yes, thanks very much. Sorry, my internet blipped a little bit there regarding Councillor Clark's proposals or question there. Can you hear me okay, sir?
I can hear James, Willie. Do you want to come back in there?
Yeah, but just in regards to the request, you know, for a pedestrian crossing on the Castle Island Road in Newcastle and Dundrum Road in Newcastle, where it is in the priorities.
I'm just conscious, Willie, I'm not jumping in to answer for James here. I know what's going to happen here. We're going to end up raising crosses that are all across the district that aren't in the report that's in front of us right now. So perhaps, James, if I could ask you maybe to respond to Willie after the meeting in writing, if that's okay, regarding that one, if we can maybe stick to the questions in terms of the actual report. So we had Councillor Walker in first there, who raised a couple of things about the Ballinhinch bypass. If we can maybe stick to that. And then, Willie, if that's okay, then James will come back to you in writing regarding the crosses. And by the way, the crosses are equally of my own heart as well in Newcastle. But if we can try our best to stick to the report, make
the flow
a bit easier.
Yeah.
Okay, James, go ahead.
Okay. Thanks very much, John. Thanks very much for the comments from the gentleman as well. I'll pass them on to the relevant staff. And regarding Councillor Walker's query about the Ballinhinch bypass, the public inquiry was a few years ago now, Councillor, it was 2016, and I think that the previous minister was minded to proceed with it, but we didn't get to the point of going ahead with it. So now it's an opportunity for us to, what we're doing now is refreshing environmental assessments. And as we refresh the environmental assessment, maybe make sure it's robust, and we'll present it again to the minister, and the minister will make an indication as to what she would like to do. Regarding, is the money available next year? Unfortunately, 40 to 50 million pounds lower. Our budgets are sort of annual for us, Councillor Walker, and it's confirmed that the minister wants to proceed with it, whenever the environmental assessment is refreshed, and it'll have to enter the process with a lot of our strategic road mission schemes. So I couldn't guarantee that the money being made available for next year, sure, but and that's where we are with that one. But it's definitely a positive sign regarding Councillor Andrews and Doran's Rock. There was a scheme proposed at Doran's Rock, and again, it's a scheme that has been in there for quite some time. We're going to be undertaking a review of our regional strategic transport network transport plan, and that being one of our strategic routes.
will be included as part of that, and this, that scheme there, Corn Drop, will be included in the consideration with other schemes as to their merit in relation to each other across the entire network. So that's the update with the Dorn Drop scheme, Councillor Andrews. So it'll be considered along with other schemes in the review of the Strategic Transport Network Transport Plan. And maybe just a brief note on pedestrian crossing assessments, Chair. Normally the pedestrian crossing assessments, they're assessed based on what we call our PV squared, the pedestrians and the vehicles and the numbers involved. And they're normally there to solve a problem where there are pedestrians already crossing the road. So there will be assessments done there, and I will inquire after the status of the assessments that Councillor Clark has mentioned and get back to him, as you say. So thanks for that.
Okay, so the three members, we move on now. Let me see. Oh, sorry, Councillor Burton, you were looking in there on the previous proposal.
Yeah, that was me shouting across the audio when the proposal. Sorry for jumping in. It's just you asked, was everybody happy with the proposal? And I'm trying to get in to say, to get clarity on it. From what I heard Councillor Clark saying, was a proposal to write to the Minister to increase the budget for pedestrian crossing. I want to be clear what the Council's writing to the Minister asking, because if you're increasing the budgets to one part of our ministry, you're taking it from another. Or are we asking for an increased budget, of which it will come from the Finance Minister? So we can't, if we're increasing the budget inside the ministry, where are we taking it from? What are we asking? And if we're asking for an increased budget, we need to write to the Finance Minister as well. So I'd like to get clarity on the proposal before we send something from full council.
Okay. Councillor Clark, can you come back in and clarify exactly the wording of that, please?
No, I agree with Councillor Burton saying. I think we do write to both the DFI Minister and also the Finance Minister looking for an increase in the budget in regards to road safety, pedestrian road safety measures, and also then obviously right to the finance minister.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Are you
happy
content with that?
Yeah, happy with that. I just didn't want it to be taken from another part of the budget inside the ministry, so absolutely happy with that, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I think the next councillor that was due on the list there was Councillor Curran. Dermot, do you want to go on ahead there?
Okay. Can you hear me okay?
Okay.
First of all, James, thanks very much for a very detailed report like out there, and it takes a lot of things into consideration. First of all, I'd like to thank you for the Collins' Corner project, which has done a lot of good work there and sight lines and things like that there. But the question that I really want to ask is on page 34. It's in relation to the Erie Street Public Realm Scheme, and there. And unfortunately, that's the resurfacing of the Irish Street and the footpath had to be stopped due to the fact that we were awaiting the decision on number 39. And that the department, yourselves and the council's building control were having consultations on what to do with number 39. Unfortunately, that situation nothing has happened here on the Irish Street resurfacing situation on the footpath. And it's left in some parts of it in a very bad condition. All I want to know now, what progress has been made and when do we expect the scheme in relation, because there is too, but our own council is involved here very much so, and I want to know what progress there has been at present time and when do you think we're going to get something done?
Thank you, Dermot. I'll maybe bring in another two councillors and hopefully Road Service can answer for you. Councillor O'Mara, you're in next, sir.
Yeah, are you able to hear me there, Chair?
Yep, can indeed.
All right, thanks a million, James, for the proposal there. And just like other councillors, thanks for your commitment and the department's commitment to bettering the roads for us all. Look, I wasn't able to get to the clinic today, being a teacher out there. So I have emailed my list of roads in a month ago or that. Would it be possible to get some sort of feedback on the issues that I've raised? That's the first thing. Leading on into that then, I see the Dundalk Road resurfacing in the report today, and I'm delighted with the progress that's so far. I suppose last year it went back to front first. It sort of done the middle phase first, and then this year they've done the what would have been the first phase, which only leaves the third phase, which is down through the centre of Newtown. There's an EI scheme at the minute, and it was just to see was the commitment still there for phase three of that programme on Dundalk Road, Dundalk Street through the centre of Newtown? As I say, Chair, the first phase was last year. The second phase was this year. It's in the report. And hopefully we'll see the third phase next year. I suppose that's the only question, as well as can I get the email with the feedback? Thank you.
Thank you, Bar. I think the standard thing would be if things were raised at the clinics, or even by writing, then Road Service will come out, Department of Insurance will come back to you in writing in due course after the meeting. Hopefully, you know, if you get too long. The phase three you're referring to, that's not in the report at this moment in time, Bar. So maybe we can maybe ask, if I'm right in saying, we can maybe ask the department to take that on board and come back to you in writing regarding that possibility of that phase three one as well. And then if we can move on to Councillor McMurray. You there, Andy?
Yep. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, and thank you again to the Mr. Morgan and Mr. McConville that were at the clinic. That was very useful. No, I suppose really, Chair, my question is just regarding that. I suppose, well, you know, the recycling measures are sort of maybe given sort of a bit of a passing comment. There's no further mention of them within the report, and obviously I know there's a severe budget constraints whenever you're given that only £2 per head is spent on cycling within Northern Ireland compared to, you know, other places in the home nation. So I'm just wondering, you know, there are the DFI roads, are they planning to bring in any more substantial development plans and substantial proposals in that regard? And also, again, just again, pass on, again, the 20 mile per hour temporary speed limits were very well received, but also unfortunately there was quite a few people that were left disappointed by them. So again, it's is there any scope to extend that scheme? And I would be advocating that it was extended again. And also just for more general 20 is plenty schemes, you know, we all saw how people were much keener to walk, and hopefully that will continue as we go forward. But certainly the speeding in some of our towns and villages that are sort of slightly more urbanised is quite depressing sometimes, and if that could be 20s plenty, would be great. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you for indulging that. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. I know you've raised a couple of points that aren't in this report itself, so hopefully maybe James and Guy can come back to you direct on those ones. Can I maybe hand back to you, James, this stage? I know that Dermot had raised issues regarding Collins Corner, and there's a couple of things there that maybe you can answer which are relating to the report in front of us. Thanks.
Yes, thank you very much, Chair. Thank you, councillors, again for your comments. On page 34 of Councillor Curran regarding the public realm scheme in Irish Street and Downpatrick, we did have a comment in there. The difficulty that we have with doing that resurfacing past that derelict building there in Irish Street is that the building is, there's concerns about its structural integrity, I suppose. So, building control, I think we're going to discuss with the property owner, before deciding how best they wanted to proceed with doing that and making the site secure. And then whenever we were waiting the outcome of conversations between Council's Building Control and the property owner before we could, it needs to be made safe, it needs to be made secure before we could bring the heavy machinery back across the front of it. That was the reason for not concluding it at the time. And I suppose, Council, that remains the case. So I can raise the question again back to building control and see where that has gotten to.
James, I wonder could we as councillors and building control, which was under our jurisdiction, wonder could we help you here in helping us to process to get it back on the programme again? Could we as councillors ask building control to get in touch with you and deal with this issue as soon as possible?
By all means, councillor, if you feel that would help to expedite the matter, yeah, that would be welcome. As I say, our concern is the integrity of the building and the vulnerability with the heavy machinery. So if we were able to address that, if councillor could speak to building control, that might help to nudge it along.
Okay, well I'll take it up with building control for you, along with the rest of my colleague councillors.
Thank you. Dermot, I think, James, I know that Barra and Andy had raised queries. I'm not sure if they were actually direct questions that were related to the report itself. I think there might be ones you've taken up off. Would that be correct?
Yeah, I'll just maybe pass comment on extending the part-time 20s, Chair. The minister is keen to do more of the part-time 20s at schools. This year there was a large number of them are done, and she's keen to roll out again with a second tranche next year. So that would be, I know that's very much in the something that she would intend to do.
Okay, thank you for that, James. If we could move on then, Councillor Enright, you're in next, sir.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'll skip the usual compliments to Hugh's team, because I think we all know. Just to address Strangford Ferry, if you don't mind, I've got two questions there. The key points that were outstanding, I think, with local elected representatives and community representatives were the need for an early morning commuter service from the Port of Ferry side. And then on the Strangford side, the use of the car park. Now, this has been a long and difficult negotiation. I know that 12 times last year we had the Strangford village and the turn off to Caliph shut down for hours at a stretch because the ferry service doesn't use its car park on the Strangford side the way they use it on the Port of Ferry side. And the difficulty there, of course, is that they say they need an extra half person to manage the car park. I think the consensus is they built the new slipway on the wrong side of the ferry building, so it's not in the it's not contiguous to the car parking area. So they use the council.
30 seconds, Kitrogan, sorry. I noticed
well, coming to the point that the village has been used as a car park. So yes, first, two things. First of all, can I get clarity on the early morning service? And second of all, can I get some undertaking to use the car park?
You can talk to the top of me. I'll eject you from the meeting. You've done this before. I'm not standing first. I'm trying to say you've been very strict with the rest of the members. I'm happy for you to ask the road service about the revised timetable arrangements, but there's nothing in this report in respect to Strangford being used.
It's on the last page.
I appreciate the points you're making, and they can be taken off outside of this meeting. So if you're content with the revised timetable...
I'm addressing the report. It's in the report.
The actual car park itself?
The two issues in Strangford are the early morning service and the use of the car park on the Strangford side. So I'm looking for clarity on both those two issues.
Councillor McAteer, you're in next. We'll take three councillors at once before we go back to the Department for Infrastructure again. There, do you want to go ahead there, Declan?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Chair. And thank you, James, for your report and your team, of course. And again, the local guys and local officers who have been very cooperative with us there over the last year. Could I just ask you just a couple of wee things? See, on page 47 of the report where we talked there about the part-time 20s, I just noticed 5 out of the 12 were in the mornings area. Was there any particular reason for that, for the schools picking them in the mornings? And, you know, with the rural schools, for example, there don't think there's any in Croft Leave, and we have quite a substantial number of primary schools with the who aren't in any zones, you know. So I have one question. The other one is, when will we learn of the various works proposals for March 21 to, or April 21 to March 22? Because many of the questions that we would have submitted would be in relation to those and to works that we would like to see brought forward. So when will we get sight of that? The other thing was just, there's no, and I know, Chair, you were talking about just dealing with items that are on the agenda, but there are works that, you know, you have been involved in the deployment of the SIDS. So I was wondering why that wasn't in the report, and had you any comments to make on their success and further rollout of them? Thank you.
Thank you, Jack. And that last question, perhaps, you know, the department can come back to you directly on that one, if that's okay. But regarding the other matters, we can get those addressed earlier on. We've got one more, Councillor James, if it's okay to bring in Councillor Hannah, and then hope we can go back and address some of the concerns there. Glenn, do you want to go on ahead?
Thanks, Chair. Just one query. On page 45, the Puffin Crossing there, you've described it, James, as Main Street Annalong. Would there be any chance you mean Main Road Annalong outside the Annalong Primary School? Because Main Street, I think you've got slightly mixed up there, so you have. Just the other question, Laura, I'm not sure if they can answer it for me. I know up around Mourne, and especially Annalong Valley Martin area, the road service has now started cleaning the footpaths know, for grass encroachment onto them there because they've got so narrow. Is that something they're going to continue, or is it just a one-off? I'd like to see it continued, Chair.
Thank you, Glenn. And again, I'm sounding like a broken record. It was not in the report. We're not discussing it tonight, so that's okay. But certainly, if you can come back in there, James, I know there's questions there from Councillor Enright regarding the timetable, not the car parking, because it's not in the report. Councillor McAteer had raised one or two questions that were in the report. The last one wasn't. And Glenn, I think, raised one question that is and one that's not. So we're trying to be as strict as we possibly can. I'm being fair to everybody, James.
Thank you very much, Chair. It's very much appreciated. Regarding early morning service, I think I'd mentioned that there is an additional passenger-only service on weekday mornings and also in the afternoons to facilitate schools. Regarding the part-time 20s, Councillor McAteer's point, there is an assessment process there where schools were prioritised, but also keeping one eye on what was deliverable this year because it was later in the year by the time we mobilised on it, but as I said, the Minister would intend to have another tranche, finances permitting, next year, and that, I suppose, brings me on to the other point about what are we going to do in the next financial year? Well, with annual budgets running year to year, we're at the mercy of give us the budget and then we can work out what we can do, and that's what's dictating the pace, if you like. And that's what will be dictating the content of what we would be doing in the following year and in subsequent years to that. Councillor Hannah's report, Councillor Hannah's question. Yes, I'll check and confirm that, Councillor Hannah, Main Street, Main Road, and along.
Just if I could clarify, I think you've got it wrong. So it should be Main Road and along, so it should, because Main Street takes you down to the harbour. It's a different area altogether. I think it's just it's your confusion there, said his chair. James, is that okay?
Sorry, through the chair, I'll confirm that exact location, Chair.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, folks. We'll move on to the next, Robert Burgess. You're in next, sir.
Thank you, Chair. Can I just begin by thanking the road service team very much for all their help and support throughout the year, especially Hugh Morgan. He's always at the end of the phone whenever you need him. And it's good to hear that the Ballinahinch bypass has moved to the next stage. The people of Ballinahinch are left most days in congestion, and they're always asking and looking forward to this bypass being done. But also the farming community, whose land has been set aside for 20 odd years and they can't develop it or do anything with it, especially the two farmers whose yards are probably going to be vested, and it's not really fair on them. They're looking forward to something being done. And also the A7, the Jones Rock, it's good to hear that that's moving up, moving along as well. And like Councillor Andrews, there is a much needed room for the footpath, especially for people from Carsonstown Park, where they could walk to Sinfield, because it's a very dangerous stretch of road that. But is there any plans also on the A7 for a slow lane from leaving Sinfield? To be added into that, because if you slow moving traffic, there's a lot of agricultural tractors and that leaving Sinfield. By the time they get from Carrigduff to Sinfield, the traffic is built up quite a while behind them, and they can't get.
Sorry, Robert. We can't, that last issue, we can take that up separately with the department, but if we just leave the first couple that's in the reports to be dealt with, and that last one can be taken up separately.
If it's not in it, I have asked for it numerous times and I never see it in it, so how do you get it on? And also, coming into Sinfield, if there would be a passing bay actually put in there as well, James, in that A7. Thank you, okay. Chair.
Thank you, Robert. Councillor Byrne, you're in next, sir.
Yeah, can you hear me now, Laura?
Yep, can I take, go ahead.
Yeah, my question was in on the proposal at the start, but just when I'm in, just to welcome the report and obviously thank those for the meeting this morning. I think the meeting this morning was very helpful, direct answers to direct questions. One issue that I will raise on the report was the completed work at Colleville, which I've been lobbying for a number of years for the new signage at Colleville, which was the play park after the new play park was done, and the new speed signs. But I would ask, and I know from the meeting this morning that there is ongoing discussions with the PSNI and future meetings with the PSNI to try and get that speed reduced from 40 to 30. And hopefully, with working with the department, the PSNI and councillors, we can get that sorted. But yeah, thanks very much.
Thank you, Oh, sorry. Thank you, Pete. Councillor Sharvin? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes,
yeah,
you're in the
I've only one question because, again, thank you to Vincent and Hugh for the meeting earlier. All my questions have been asked there, but it's in reference to page 50 in the report where it mentions the red textured banding on carriageways. As discussed in the meeting today, I'm aware that the contractor who actually delivers that work in the district, that contract has expired. So is it right that I would assume that the work that is scheduled on page 50 for the remaining part of this year actually would move into next year, given that the procurement of that contract will take some time? My concern is particularly around St Patrick's Road and Rahulp, something that we've been campaigning for a long time to get done. So it's a concern that that procurement process is going to hold up some important work that needs to be done with the red texture canon measure. So just that's my question, Chair.
Thank you. Gareth, James, are you happy to come back in there? There's a couple of questions, starting with Robert.
Yes, thanks, Chair. The inclusion of projects in the report, the slow lanes or passing bays, you know, we do the assessments of requests that we receive, and the report's very much made up of projects that make it through that process and have money allocated to them to get onto the works programme. It's basically a presentation of the works programme that we're doing. So those other ones will have been assessed in the past, and that's the reason why they're not on them, because they haven't made it on them, unfortunately, and I think it might be similar with the footpath to which Councillor Burgess referred to as well. Regarding the Councillor Burns reports, I think it's just really those matters are being picked up as an aside outside the meeting. You mentioned the 40 to 30s and speed signs, and Councillor Sharvin's query about the red banding. Just because one contract expires, you know, we don't wait until one expires before we start the procurement process for the next one. There's an element of riding two bikes alongside each other on these things. There can be some little delays and hiccups, but no, our intention would be, if it's down there for getting done this year, to honour that proposal and have the contract up and running and get it done. Those particular bandings that are mentioned in there, those entrance gateways, if you like, to the villages that are mentioned. So no, the intention would still be to do those, just because one contract has expired, the process for the next one should be on the go before that one expires, because we can see it coming.
Thank you, Chair. James, thank you, Gareth. Okay, at the minute, I think, James, we've only got two councillors left to speak, as far as I know. Okay, Councillor Finnegan, you're in next, sir.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, I wanted to just discuss page 56, Chapel View, with the anticipated enforcement that is going to be initiated. I know just with the extensive phone calls and queries I've had from residents that any work that should take place in Chapel View will be welcomed by all the residents that they've spent their life savings on their home and they haven't got footpaths, street lighting, lighting. They can't even get the bin lorries to come down to lift the bins from outside their door. And, you know, there is people with mobility issues and stuff that we have tried to get sorted, and it just, the roads are not being adopted. They've got a lack of effective sewage system, and let's be fair, it's just not good enough. I suppose my question is, how soon can we see the enforcement taking place, and what do these enforcements mean for the development that remains unfinished? Thank you.
Thank you. Aoife, Councillor McKee, you're in next, sir.
Yes, thanks, Chair, and thanks, James, for your report, well detailed, what have you. And one of the things I've noticed from all of the councillors, I believe, and it's all of them from the east side of our constituency area, they've all had some mighty congratulations to Q for the work that he has done, and I even had an incident where I had to speak to Q too, and he was called out. We have something we have said in the Mourne area and the Southern area all along, that we do not have that same representation as with the work that Q has done. We don't have anybody down here that we can put a name on or a contact number if we have an issue. Getting someone out to look at a job is always near enough a no-no. So maybe you could take a look at that, James. What the main question from the whole thing is, how far away is the Southern Relief Road? When do you see it coming to fruition, and what sort of cost is there against that? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Harold, that's back with you, James, then, for to cover Councillor Finnegan and Councillor McKee's questions, if possible. Oh, can you hear us okay, James?
Sorry, Chair, I think my connection may have disconnected a little, but I think it's back now. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can indeed. Yeah, just blurred there for a wee second. Yep, going ahead.
I'm very glad it has held up as long as it has. I'm grateful to you. So the first, Councillor Finnegan's query, first of all, there about Chapelview, I don't have an exact timeline for it. I find out whenever a developer applies for planning permission and goes to build houses, the developer gets the planning permission for the houses, and included in that planning permission will be a determination drawing. And that determination drawing will include the roads network. And if the developer builds the houses in accordance with a planning permission and delivers the roads in accordance with the determination drawing, then we adopt it. But it's on the developer to present it to us for adoption in line with his planning permission and the determination drawing, which is part of the planning permission. So it's not adopted until it is adopted. But as we can see there, sometimes they're private streets, guys. If the houses are built and a developer has not presented it for adoption, that we can then take enforcement action against the developer to bring it to conclusion and to recoup the monies from the developer from whatever bond that might have been secured to cover that. So regarding the Chapel View, I don't know if, because it's listed first there, if it's the next one that private streets are targeting, we shall get some details on that, and Chair, and maybe feed that back directly to Councillor Finnegan around the time scale for the delivery of the enforcement at Chapel View and Cross McGlen. And again, regarding other houses that are not yet built or that have got planning and that are going to be built, again, the same theory would apply, is whenever they get presented for adoption, completed, well, then they would become part of the adopted road network and whatever, and become, and then maintenance thereafter would be by the roads authority. So the same logic would apply for if there's other areas there where houses aren't even built yet or whatever, that the development control side agree what needs to be done. And then our private streets side, then they monitor and inspect the development as it goes along and satisfy themselves that things are done properly and that the pipes are in the proper depth and that the roads are proper depth of makeup and that sort of thing. So I'll find out and revert back, Chair, if that's okay, to Councillor Finnegan regarding the timescale for the enforcement action at Chapel View and Cross McGlen. Regarding Councillor McKee's query about the Newry Southern Relief Road, my line took a bit of a drop there, but maybe just to summarise for Councillor McKee, there was a meeting earlier on today. I'm not sure if the councillor was at it where Newry Southern Relief Road might have been discussed.
No, I wasn't at it. No.
Okay. Right. I think the current status of Newry Southern Relief Road is that we're currently developing the design. And we're also working on the environmental impact statement for that particular scheme. We're developing the draft orders. And the draft orders, there's three main parts to that. The statutory processes around planning and vesting and also a bridge order. And also updating, as I said, the environmental impact assessment. The current proposal is for a fixed bridge. The Minister is very keen to take on board the views and concerns of local stakeholders. I know that there was a meeting today, but I think that there's other meetings due to maybe take place with Inland Waterways or other stakeholders to consider any further justifications for having an opening bridge instead, because the the value or the cost would increase significantly an opening bridge rather than a bridge that doesn't open. So the minister is will take her time to consider all those contributions before she decides on a way forward. And then whenever the minister decides on the way forward, the next step then would be to publish the orders. And whenever the orders are published, then that'll be the start of the statutory consultation process on the orders. And depending on the nature of any objections, the department will have to consider whether to go to public inquiry or not. So there's a few statutory steps and consultative steps to go through yet, councillor, before we'll be in a position to be delivering it. And it could be it'll be later in 2021 before the minister maybe have the information that she's able to decide on the option that she wants to deliver and go ahead with. That's sort of the timeline on that now. And again, whenever we get into statutory consultations, it can become you can't really predict what the objections might be and what they might be resolved. And if you know, we have to give due respect to that process, councillor. I hope that helps, Chair.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Bye bye.
Thank you, Harold. Listen, James, Hugh and Ian, thanks so much for your attendance this evening. I suppose also thanks to members for their patience and their cooperation. I appreciate that everybody's working hard. They want to raise all the issues in their own local area, their own backyard. But literally, if there was 41 members and we're all doing that, we would literally be here to Christmas time. So I know there was a number of queries that maybe were raised tonight and we weren't done beforehand. So if I could ask members to maybe put them on the wee pro forma and send them through Democratic Services, Road Service will certainly get back in due course to those queries. But thank you, James and Ian and Hugh, for your cooperation and attendance this evening. And thank you and good night, everybody.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks,
Sam.
Thanks, thank you, Chair. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair.